This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidi al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ja'alna minhum wa minal ladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. Today I want to share with you some things about a common dhikr that we do, a way of remembering Allah that He taught us, and a history and the significance of this remembrance of Allah, something that the Prophet ﷺ said that he himself commits to at least 100 times a day, and the phrase that all of you are familiar with is Astaghfirullah. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He created human beings, the first human being, Adam ﷺ, the story everybody knows, but it's bear with me as I remind you of some elements of that story. You see, there are three characters in this story other than Allah Azza wa Jal. There's the group of the angels, there's Adam alayhi salam and our mother, and then there's Iblis. And I'm going to compare Adam and Iblis for a little bit. Iblis, before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, he was given a great honor. Allah Azza wa Jal has elevated him to the point where some narrations tell us that he was even in charge of the angels. This is why eventually when Allah commanded the angels to do sajda, well, the angels, he was a jinn, he was not an angel. But since Allah commanded the angels, their commander, meaning Iblis, was the first one to obey, and then everybody else had to obey along with him. But he refused. So this was kind of the honor given to Iblis. And you notice that Adam alayhi salam, when he was created, he was also given an honor. He was also given a special status that the angels, even ranking above the angels actually, which is why Allah Azza wa Jal commanded them for that sajda. You find with Iblis, he violated a commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah commanded him something and he refused. He failed. And you also find with Adam alayhi salam, Allah gave him one single commandment. Don't go near the tree. He told him and our mother, don't go near the tree. And you also find a violation. You find that they also ended up going near the tree. Both of them were honored. Both of them made a mistake. They have something in common. But what they have not in common is what happens after the mistake. What happens after the mistake? After the mistake, Iblis gives justification. He explains that it's actually not a mistake at all. I am completely logical in what I'm saying. I'm made of fire. And you can imagine also, in part of his argument, I've been around a lot longer. I'm senior to him. I have way more experience. You just created him, and he's made of dirt. What is he? What is he? He hasn't even proven himself. And I am supposed to submit myself before him? How is he getting a higher rank? I can't accept this. So he's giving a logical explanation for his disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Adam alayhi salam, this is not commonly understood, but Adam alayhi salam could also give a logical explanation. You see, when Allah created Adam alayhi salam, He made an announcement to all of the angels. He told all the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Surah Al-Baqarah tells us, He told all the angels, I am putting a khalifa on the earth. Allah announced to the angels from the very beginning that Adam was created for the earth. Eventually, when Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree, Allah says, now you must go down to the earth. Adam alayhi salam could turn around and say, wait a second. Even before I ate from the tree, you made the announcement that I'm going to go to the earth anyway. You already told everyone, you told the angels, and this is actually what Iblis came and told him. Iblis said, by the way, you live in Jannah, you like it, right, huh? But you know what? That's not the plan for you. The announcement that was sent out, the announcement that was made, is not, you're not made for Jannah right now, you're made for what? The earth. You like staying here? You like Jannah, huh? Well, there's only two kinds of people that can stay here. Either angels or permanent residents. And you're not an angel, and you can't be a permanent resident. Guess why he doesn't want you to eat from that tree? Because anybody who eats from that tree, إِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ وَإِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. If you eat from that tree, one of two things will happen. Either you will turn into angels, or you will turn into permanent residents. That's why Allah doesn't want you eating from that tree. Because He wants you to go to the earth. That's why you should stay away from that tree. So if you want to stay here, and so this was the offer Iblis made to our father and our mother in Surah Al-A'raf. And so they go and they eat from the tree. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, what prevented you? Why didn't you stay away from this tree? And the same way Allah asked Iblis, why did you refuse to make sajda? Allah asked Iblis, why? Why did you disobey? Allah asked Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, why did you disobey? Same exact thing. Why and why? Iblis gave a logical answer. Adam alayhi salam could also give a logical answer. Ya Allah, you already knew that I was going to go to the earth. This is all set up. And to this day, there are people that will come up to you and me and say, if Allah already knows what's going to happen, why is it my fault? Why is it my fault? Adam alayhi salam could have been the first human being who asked that question. Allah already knew. I was going to go to the earth. It's not my fault. But instead, Adam alayhi salam, and by the way, that would have been a very logical question. No doubt, would have been a logical question. But Adam alayhi salam made a very important decision for all of us. He made a decision, and our mother made a decision, that instead of thinking that Allah tricked them, by the way, that's literally what Iblis says, you made me slip. You tricked me. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Because you made me slip. They blamed Allah. Adam alayhi salam, instead of blaming Allah, blames who? Himself. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We wronged ourselves. We did wrong to ourselves. Now, I was going to tell you about istighfar. The first step of istighfar, the reality is all human beings are going to make mistakes. All of us. Every single one of us. And it's going to happen all the time. There are going to be all kinds of mistakes in our life. Things that we do that we should not have done. Things that we say that we should not have said. Things that we earned that we should not have earned. Wrong that we did to ourselves, wrong we did to somebody else, wrong we did before Allah Azza wa Jal. There are things we should have done and we refused to do them or we failed to do them. There are things we should not have done and we did them anyway. And you know best your own story. That's not for anyone else to know. Allah Azza wa Jal knows and the angels that are recording know. But you know what? Every time you and I make a mistake, we have an option. Iblis comes to you and me and says, listen, I know you made a mistake, but come on, you were under a lot of pressure. It's understandable. It's logical. I mean, what choice did you have? It's only reasonable that you made such a mistake. It's okay. Allah understands. Don't worry about it. Don't feel so bad about it. Everybody makes a mistake. It's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. So Iblis' first job is to come and tell you, you don't need to feel so sorry because your mistake was logical. You got really angry and you hit someone. And then Iblis comes and tells you, well, they made me really angry. Did you hear what they said? You see, it was justified. I mean, what did you want me to do? Just listen? That's why I hit them. Or you decide to insult somebody. Or somebody decides to steal. And somebody says, what did you want me to do? Everybody's doing it. I can't even pay the bills. What did you want me to do? Somebody accepts a bribe, and they tell themselves, look, I mean, I have to survive. I have small kids. Shaitan comes and tells you, just like himself, when the mistake is caught, he tells you to say, no, it was okay. You don't have to feel so bad. You don't have to feel so bad. The mistake isn't yours. Why did Allah put me in such a difficult position anyway? It's Allah's fault. Ma'adallah. Allah put me in a difficult position. What did you expect? Of course I was going to mess up. You see, this is Iblis' line of thinking. Adam's line of thinking, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We wronged ourselves. We did wrong to ourselves. I can't hide behind any excuses, my Rabb. I'm not going to hide behind my anger or my temptation or my weakness or my forgetfulness or somebody else made me do it or somebody else made me really upset or somebody else tempted me. There's going to be all these reasons. There's going to be a million justifications. Just like when somebody goes to court, and they say, why did you do it? Well, you know, I had a rough childhood and I had bad influence in my life and this is why I became this way because I've just been around gangs my whole life. That's why I commit these crimes. Really, if your environment, you can blame your environment, then how come Yusuf alayhi salam spends decades in jail and he doesn't think like a criminal? He doesn't act like a criminal. Ibrahim alayhi salam is raised in a town where everybody worships idols. He doesn't blame the environment and justify his behavior. He stands up for the truth. What is Allah teaching us? Every human being, you know, al-insan ala nafsihi basira walau alqa ma'adhira. The human being is very clear view of his own self, even though he comes up with lots of excuses. Human beings are very good at making excuses. And where do the excuses come from? Iblis. Because there's one thing Iblis does not want. He does not want you to say with your heart, astaghfirullah. He does not want that. Because once Adam alayhi salam was sent to the earth, this is why I started with Adam alayhi salam. When Adam alayhi salam was sent to the earth, Allah told him, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ. Now that I'm sending you to the earth, you will need guidance. You will need guidance. And whoever follows my guidance, they won't have to worry, they won't have fear, they won't have sadness. So basically, Allah told Adam alayhi salam that when he comes to the earth, Allah will give him what? Guidance. Now please listen to this carefully. This is what it has to do with astaghfirullah. The first guidance Allah sent to this earth, Allah says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah gave Adam alayhi salam words by means of which he turned back to Allah asking for his forgiveness. Asking for Allah's forgiveness was the first guidance given to humanity. That was guidance number one. Before any other teaching, before anything Allah taught us about halal and haram, before anything Allah taught us about remembering Allah in different ways, before anything Allah taught us about the gratitude of Allah and the perfection of Allah, the first thing Allah taught humanity was seek Allah's forgiveness. And you know what? That's how the story of humanity started, by seeking Allah's forgiveness. Where does the story of humanity end? On Judgment Day, isn't it? And on Judgment Day, believers are trying to make their way towards Jannah. And they haven't made it to Jannah yet. They haven't made it yet. Some people had a lot of faith, so they have a lot of light coming out of their chest and their right hand. And some people have a little bit of faith, so they have a little bit of light coming out of their chest and their right hand. And if you have a lot of light, you know where to go. If you have a little bit of light, you can only take one step at a time. And people are inching towards Jannah, trying to make it to Jannah. And what do they say? This is the last dua human beings will ever make. This is the last dua human beings will ever make. In Surah Al-Tahrim, رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Master, please complete our light. Let this light, this battery not run out until we make it to the gates of Jannah. And forgive us. Forgive us. The first guidance, the first dua was what? Forgiveness. And the last dua for all humanity is what? Forgive us. The guidance of Allah begins and ends with seeking forgiveness. And seeking, this astaghfirullah is not something small. It's not a small reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked istighfar of Allah 100 times. We'll solve that problem in a second. Why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking for Allah's forgiveness? We know that prophets are free of sin. And on top of that, Allah describes him, as I told you before, as a brilliant son, flawless. So how is he, why is he asking for forgiveness if he hasn't even made any sins? You see, Allah Azza wa Jal will give us the reasons for which istighfar isn't just about doing a sin. Istighfar is about not doing enough. Istighfar is also about not doing enough. No human being should ever feel about themselves that they have done enough for Allah. They have always fallen short for what Allah gave them, they can never give back. And so they ask Allah's forgiveness for their own shortcomings. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba. And when he built the Kaaba, after all those tests, I told you about that before. After all those tests, and when he was building the Kaaba, he said, وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا, please accept our tawbah. Please forgive us. Why is he asking for forgiveness? Because as I'm putting one brick of the Kaaba on top of the other, I pray that this is good enough. I pray my salah is good enough. I pray my dua is good enough. Because my dua may not be perfect. My salah may not be perfect. My qira'ah of Quran may not be perfect. Even when we do good deeds, those good deeds, are they perfect? No. And so because they're not perfect, what will complete the... There's a gap. And that gap can only be filled by what words? Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Our ibadah will always be incomplete without istighfar to Allah Azza wa Jal. We finish the salah, what's the masnoon dhikr to do? We finish the salah, the first thing we do is what? Astaghfirullah. You would think, normally, if you do something bad, you say astaghfirullah. I shouldn't have... You just did something good. You prayed. And we're taught right after you pray, you say what? Astaghfirullah. Why? Because that prayer was not perfect. And Allah will cover. Istighfar comes from mighfar. Mighfar actually means to cover. I ask Allah to cover the shortcomings of my prayer. I ask Allah to cover what wasn't good enough. I ask Allah to cover all the times in my head when I was still on Facebook, when I was reciting Fatiha. When I was in ruku' staring at the carpet and it looked like a face is looking back at me. I'm making istighfar for all the things that I didn't do well. When I rushed through the wudu, like, you know, and I didn't really pay attention, when I was in the middle of a conversation and somebody asked me, hey, where did you put the keys? Allahu Akbar, and they're on the dresser. And in my head, I'm still answering their question, but I'm reciting, Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. My good deed wasn't good enough, so astaghfirullah. So this is the story of istighfar. We have to admit that we don't do well enough, and that even our good deeds need covering. We cannot become confident. You know, some people, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said that for one letter of reciting Quran, you get 10 good deeds. You get 10 good deeds. And there are different adhkar that are mentioned, or different deeds that are mentioned, like salah and jama'ah counts 27 times more, right? So there are multiplications. I met some people that like to do these calculations. Today, 50,000 times this, and I caught Laylatul Qadr, so that's like 83, you know, years, Alfa Shahar. So that's 83 years, and I've got this I'm doing pretty good. Doesn't matter how many calculations you do, it's still going to be not good enough. And the only thing that will cover it is istighfar. That's the one part. What's one part of istighfar? What's the other part of istighfar? That's the scarier part. You know, when some people become impressed, I remind myself of this, I remind you of all of you of this. When some people become impressed with their own good deeds, then they are following the footsteps of shaitan. And it doesn't matter if those are prayers, and it doesn't matter if that's hajj, and it doesn't matter if it's anything else. If you yourself are impressed with the good that you have done, you're impressed with how patient you are, you're impressed with how kind you are, you're impressed with how much you pray, you are impressed with how much you recite. When you become impressed with yourself, the door of istighfar is closed. Even if you say astaghfirullah, you don't mean it. Because you think it's perfect, you're perfect already. So those are just words, they don't mean anything. The istighfar means nothing if it's not coming from the heart. If you don't acknowledge, and I don't acknowledge that we are flawed, that what we do is not good enough. You know, one time Ali radiallahu anhu was passing by someone who was saying, astaghfirullah, 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 and he said, your istighfar needs istighfar. You know. So the last thing I share with you about istighfar, not only does it cover our flaws, not only does it teach us humility, and it teaches us, you know, profoundly, it teaches us that we aren't perfect and we will always be making mistakes, and we have to admit our mistakes to Allah. By the way, on that note, it's not easy to admit your mistake to another person. Somebody says to you, hey, I didn't like what you said. What? What did I say? Huh? It was perfectly right what I said. What are you talking about? You didn't understand what I said. There's a problem with you, not with me. When somebody points out your mistake, you get defensive. I didn't make a mistake. Guess who got defensive when his mistake was pointed out? Iblis. And when you become defensive, there's no way you'll ask Allah's forgiveness. Yes, it's hard to admit our mistakes in front of people. But if you get in the habit of defending yourself every time, it will be hard for you and hard for me to admit ourselves before Allah. It'll be hard for us to say, Ya Allah, I messed up, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't do this. And I'm seeking genuinely your forgiveness. So being able to admit your mistake is actually a step towards istighfar. Shaitan doesn't even want us to admit it. So finally, the benefits. What do you get when you make istighfar? Not only do your sins get covered, not only is it the last steps before we walk into Jannah, waghfir lana, waghfir lana, the last words before people enter into Jannah. But in addition, Nuh alayhi salam told us something. He told us something about what will happen if people make istighfar. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. Allah Azza wa Jal told Nuh alayhi salam to teach the people, and he told Allah, Ya Allah, I gave them the best offer. I gave my people the best offer. I told them to make istighfar of your master. I told them to seek forgiveness of your master. And if you do, what will happen? The sky will open up, pouring down. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. And it doesn't just mean rain. It means rizq from the sky will come pouring down. Protection will come pouring down. Guidance will come pouring down. Blessings will come pouring down. Everything you need in this life comes from the sky. And the sky will open up for you only because you're making what? Istighfar. Yursil as-sama'a alaykum midrara wa yumdidkum, and he will extend for you bi amwalin wa banin. He will give you more and more money. He will give you more and more children. And yumdidkum doesn't mean yazidkum, meaning he'll give you more children, more money. But even if you have a little money, little bit of money, it will go very far. And if you have just a child, or you know, your child is not, you don't have many kids, the good they do will go very far. Yumdidkum, meaning your good deeds will continue through your money. Allah will make your money work for your dunya, and Allah will make your children work for your dunya, and He will make your money and your children work for your akhirah only because you made istighfar. Yumdidkum bi amwalin wa banin. And then he says, وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he will put gardens out for you. And he will put rivers out for you. And the ulama got confused. Wait, a lot of people make istighfar, but they never get gardens? They never get rivers? But Quran says if you make istighfar, you will get gardens and you will get rivers. It's completely logical. Even if you have 100 rand and you're a person of istighfar, that 100 will do more good for you than 1 million would have done for you. If you have a sick child, and you make istighfar, the good that will come from that sick child will be better than 10 sons that were strong and started businesses and became millionaires and became your backbone. That will be better for you because you're a person of istighfar. And when will you see those gardens? And when will you see those rivers? When you come back to Allah, you will see the gates open and gardens and rivers waiting for you. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. مَا لَكُمْ. What is wrong with you? Nuh alayhi salam told his people, what is wrong with you? La tarjuna lillahi waqara. You're not hoping for Allah to dignify you? Why don't you want Allah to honor you? Why don't you want Allah to bless you? Allah Azza wa Jal will honor you when you become people of istighfar. And this is my last comment to you. When somebody asks for forgiveness, if I came to somebody and said, I'm sorry I said that, I made a mistake, and somebody admits their crime before a judge, somebody admits their, sometimes the politicians make a mistake and they have to do a press release. I'm really sorry I said that and I didn't mean to say it and please still vote for me. And, is that dignifying or is that embarrassing when they have to admit their mistake? It's embarrassing. If somebody has to admit their mistake, it's very embarrassing. It's one of the most difficult, uncomfortable situations a person can be in when they have to admit their mistake. And Allah Azza wa Jal on the tongue of Nuh alayhi salam told us, when you seek forgiveness of Allah, you are hoping for Allah not to humiliate you, but to what? To honor you. That actually our honor lies in admitting our faults before Allah and asking, begging Allah to cover them. That's actually our honor. When we admit ourselves to any other human being, it will be humiliation. When we humiliate ourselves before Allah, that is the only honor a human being will ever have in this life. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. This is the power of just the words, Astaghfirullah. When we say these words, we are transforming our lives. We're opening the doors to rizq. We're dignifying ourselves. We are reminding ourselves of the journey of Adam alayhi salam and the journey we will all be taking as we walk into the gates of Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make all of us people of real istighfar from our hearts. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ وَنَفَعْنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ.